Ladies and gentlemen, Emil Wiklitzky on the piano. The Czech jazz legend has just released two new albums, one in Germany called Spring Awakening, and another in Japan, where he plays regularly, called Kafka on the Shore, a tribute to Haruki Murakami. This is the seventh track off the latter, called 1Q84. It has been a good year for Emil Wiklitzky, having begun with a Presidential Medal of Merit and ending with these two albums, which we will present in more detail in our Sunday music show on New Year's Day. In the first part of a wide-ranging interview with the pianist, we began by talking about his English, which he told me he originally picked up from his black fellow musicians in America in the 1970s.
So black that he couldn't believe.
Really?
Yeah, because I was playing with guys for a half a year. So then I lost it a little bit. So, but I mean, just immediately after, I mean, I came back in August 78, and I think I met this guy, and he couldn't believe it. He said, "Are you faking it? Why are you trying to pretend you speak black English?" I said, "I'm not pretending anything." Well, I was just using the words, you know, the musicians talking with me, so... Obviously, it was a black English with Czech accent, but it was black English.
What's it like for a Czech jazz man to go to the home of jazz and play with African-American musicians for the very first time?
Oh, it's adventure. Because, you know, that's, if you grew up in Czech Republic and you want to play jazz, obviously the country of jazz is States. So if you go there and if you have the chance to do it, that's like it's like a marvel. It's just like a... It's a very nice adventure, you know.
But you went to the States for the first time when you were 30-something? Yes,
I wasn't 30 yet.
No?
No, I was 29. 20,
and so you must have had many... You'd been playing jazz for years and years, so you must have had a lot of expectations about what it would be like.
But actually, I was 28. I was 28 because I came there in summer 77, and I was 29 in the winter, end of November. So I was 28. But I was already a musician, you know. Obviously in Berklee College, I learned how to say sharp or flat or all these musical terms, which I didn't know properly how to say in English. But otherwise, I was a ready musician because the strategy of Berklee College was, you know, the marketing strategy of Berklee College was to pick up ready musicians and just... Get them for college because it was a good marketing tool to show that we have such a musicians, such a ready musicians, you know. So in 28, I was already living 5 years in Prague, having quite a lot of practice. But in America, it went up, obviously.
But what was the jazz? What was it like for you to meet the jazz community in the United States?
No, first I met the school community. You mean the students? It's fantastic. It's like when you have these musicians or these students. They go to Harvard, and then they meet all the next life. They meet each other on certain positions. I met Bill Frisell. I met the other guys, and we recorded. We're still meeting, you know. So it's. As I said many times, the most interesting for me was, because I was coming from communist country where everything was, after normalization, everything was kind of like dumped down, you know. And I'm coming in States. I was still living in Olomouc at the time. And traveling to Prague back and forth. And all of a sudden, a lot of energy. You can see some young guys who are trying to be jazz musicians, and they really invest energy in it. And that was... good surprise for me because I realized that that's probably the most valuable information for me as a Czech musician coming to the States. That if you wanna be something, you have to invest a lot in it. I mean, you have to practice. You have to really try, because it was absolute opposite of what was happening in Czech Republic. Everybody was doing nothing, trying to do as less as they could in the job, because of state paid job, every single state. So it was complete opposite.
And before the interview, we were talking about the opportunity that you had to study and to stay in the States for 4 years.
That was crazy.
As a scholarship for 4 years. And I know it's a question that everyone asks you, but do you regret that you weren't able to stay there for longer? Oh,
immediately after, I did regret, because I was offered, after I finished my 1 year in Berkeley, I wanted to go home for, let's say, months, and I was counting with the opportunity that in September 78, I would go back to stage to be a member of Dad Jones Mel Lewis big band. I hope you have some Dad Jones Mel Lewis recordings, if you can play that band, because I have all of them. And I could have been a member of this band. The band was paid very little. The band, the Jones Mel Lewis big band, was playing every Monday in Village Vanguard, and each member of the band was getting $25. That was the pay. But when Mel Lewis was kind of like hiring me, because George Meraz recommended me, he said, hey, Emil, can you read? I said, yes, I've been doing studio musician in Czech. Okay, so you are only getting $25 for the big band, but always the bass player and piano player, they're playing with me some jingles. Can you read? I said, I was very proficient in sight reading. So yeah. So okay, be back in September. You're playing with us every Monday, only $25, which is not enough for even the lodging in New York. But you will have some jingles, so don't worry, and we'll keep you busy. So I wanted to do that. So of course I was regretting it in year. But what I could do, I mean, what can help you if you regret things? So it doesn't help you anything. And then I got into film a little bit, not to the big movies, not to the feature movies, but I got as a composer for the animated movie and kids movie, short movies. You know, you maybe know the Czech famous TV series called Večerníček.
Anyone who doesn't know it should know it.
Yeah, anyone who doesn't know, that was very popular, and I did my very first series was called Zmatky Kluka, Zmatlíka. I don't know how that would be in English. Some Troubles of Zmatlík, right? And what was the funny thing was that it was drawings was by Vráťa Hlavatý, and there was a lady in Czech television, and she said, "Oh, that's too modern," and it wasn't broadcasted in Czech until the change of regime. So we did it in 79, yes. There was 13 episodes. It was 79-80 on these 2 years. It was broadcasted in 90, 10 years later. But the Czech company called Short Movies, they sold it to 21 countries. 21 different countries television. They never broadcast it in Czech, but they sold it away. But what happened? I never got royalties. Never. Only when the system changed, when the Velvet Revolution happened, all of a sudden I was getting some beautiful royalties from Czech ASCAP. I said, oh my God, what that is? I said, oh, that's for these children movies. It was played in so many countries, but you know. So that was the first time I could afford a nice car. But I could have been, if there was a different system, the 20 years, it was played for 10 years in 20 different West, mostly West countries.